Well, good morning and welcome. Today, we have the privilege to have Steve Schultz and Joe with us today. He is our state rep for our fellowship here, and he's going to be sharing from God's Word.
I'm happy to be with you here this morning. I haven't been with you since 8 o'clock. It's good to be back. I have with me my wife, Jo, my granddaughter, Violet. Anything you can do to make them feel awkward would be welcomed by me. I am happy that they are here today as well. I appreciate your church. I've admired a lot about your church from... I got acquainted with your church back in the days of Frank Kistner. And worked well with him and Pastor Culver and Pastor Jenks. I really appreciate the staff you have now. God bless you. You do a lot of things well. I agree with Kodiak that you sing well. I don't say that about many of our churches. A lot of them, they just kind of sit there. But I appreciate you folks singing. Keep up the good work. Pastor Jack said, you can come and talk about association stuff if you want, or it's Mother's Day. You can talk about Mother's Day. So I'm going with talking about Mother's Day. Oh, one more thing about the WARBC. We do send out a weekly email, and it has on it some prayer requests from our association churches and occasionally some other things that are included. But if you would like to get that, there's a sign-up sheet out on the table out in the foyer. Please get your name on that, and we'll see that you are added to our list. Or if you put your name on it in the past and you're not getting them, talk to me or get your name on it again. This morning, I want to talk to you about the motherly qualities of God. I chose that title because I thought it might get your attention. Maybe I can reassure you right away. I am not attempting to undermine the fatherhood of God. But when God created man, there were things missing in Adam. And so he created Eve to supplement, to make up, to be his counterpart. And that means that God created woman to be strong in some of the places where Adam tended to be weak. And so that's what I believe. I believe there is design in God's creation and that the genders have different tendencies. Men and women are not the same emotionally or psychologically. We both tend to have our own strengths and weaknesses. Now, I've been saying tend and tendencies quite often because things aren't always black and white, okay? Some of these things, there are gray areas and there's some wiggle room in there. But what I am saying is that when God created man and woman, they were intended to be different. Now, if you can think through this to see where I'm going with this message, I got to prepare you for what's ahead. So we start with the idea that God is perfect. He has no weaknesses. And I've already said that I believe that women were designed to be strong where men tend to have weaknesses. So if women are stronger than men in certain areas, then women tend to be more godly in those areas, more godlike in those areas. I'm going to try it from a different angle maybe. In order for us to understand what he is like, sometimes in the Bible, God says, I am like a mom. And that's what I'm trying to convey to you today. That's what this message is about. That's what I mean when I say moms tend to model godliness better than men in some areas. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the chance to spend time in the Scriptures. We're thankful for what you've told us. We know you've told us all things pertaining to life and godliness. You've told us what we need to know. We're thankful that when we do your word, life is at its best. And so I pray that you'll open our hearts today, help us to leave with a greater appreciation for moms, but ultimately a greater appreciation for you, and a deeper commitment for all of us to live in ways that would honor you and please you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I wanted to note five qualities that are shared by God and good moms. And the first one is this: they are both compassionate. Now, please open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 49. We're going to be looking at verse 15. Both God and good moms are compassionate. That's what it says in Isaiah 49:15. You can follow along as I read at least the first half. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? So when God wants to show us how compassionate he is, he tells us to think about the compassion of mom. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Now, this chapter, Isaiah 49, it's about the, my heading on my study Bible says it's about the servant, the light to the Gentiles. And that servant is the Messiah, Jesus. And God is telling Israel that he is going to send his servant, their Messiah, and the Messiah is going to deliver them. He's going to redeem them. He's going to bless them. He's been talking about that in the earlier parts of chapter 49. But when we get down to verse 14, how is Israel responding to hearing that God's on their side and he's going to deliver them? Zion said, the Lord, Jehovah has forsaken me. And my Lord has forgotten me. Well, that's what they're feeling. God says, I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to send my servant, your Messiah, to you. And they say, we're not feeling it. We feel like we've been forsaken and forgotten. And then God asks, well, can a woman forget her nursing child? Can she not have compassion on the son of her womb? Well, what's the answer to those questions? You can tell what the expected answer is. The expected answer is, of course, a mom would never forget her child. She would never forsake her baby. If anyone's going to show compassion in this world, it's going to be mom. That is the expected answer, but let's read the rest of the verse. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Even moms can forget. Even moms can fall short when it comes to showing compassion. And God says, but I will not, I will never forget you, forsake you, or not show compassion to you. God is telling Israel that he has even more compassion for them than moms have for their babies. It's like God is saying, the best example of human compassion I can come up with is a mom's love for her kids. And then God says, and I'm even better than mom. Here's a quote from the Bible Knowledge Commentary on this verse. It says that God could not possibly forget Israel because he is like a mother to that nation. Moms don't forget. Moms have compassion. And God says, and I have even more. I want to apply this to three different areas. First of all, to moms. Here's a verse that says, that's teaching above all other human things, moms, you're the ideal. Moms are compassionate. So moms, live up to your reputation. Your kids need to know beyond any doubt that no matter what happens to them, that mom cares. She's always going to be there. She's always in my corner. Moms need to show compassion. I have a friend who relies heavily on the compassion of a caring wife. Men need to have compassion from their wives as well. Let's apply it to men a little bit. I think it's safe to say that this is a typical weakness of us men. We tend, this is not just observation, and I know there are some men who are very compassionate, but as a whole, the tendency is that we men come up short when it comes to showing compassion. But God is a wise God, and in his great wisdom, he has gifted some Christians, both men and women, with the spiritual gift of showing mercy. And so there are men out there, some of you men here, I know some of you men, have this spiritual gift. And we can praise God. Some men are good at it. They're gifted at it. Most of us are not. And for those of us who are not, we can't just say, well, that's mom's department. Leave that to the wife. We can't just say we're going to ignore it, because if we're going to be godly, then we must be compassionate. Men, it is not effeminate to care, to show compassion. It's godly. And if your desire is to be like Jesus, well, you know Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, when he saw the crowds, Jesus was moved with compassion because they were like a sheep having no shepherd. Well, that's application to moms and to the boys and men. But let's think about God and what he says here. In this verse, God pledged, he showed and taught, I have more compassion than a mom has for her baby. And we can be sure that the same God who pledged his faithfulness to Israel has promised us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. You think mom cares? God cares more. The people who said in verse 14, the Lord has forsaken me, my Lord has forgotten me, God says to us that he will never leave us nor forsake us as well. You may be here and you're hurting this morning, and you may have a lot of problems. And to make it even more difficult, you may be convinced that God's not aware or God doesn't care. You may feel just like verse 14, my God has forsaken me. He's forgotten me. But God does not forsake. He will not leave you. He does care. You have to believe that what he has promised is true, whether you feel it or not. You have to trust him. God cares. Well, the first way a good mom and a perfect God are alike is that they're both compassionate. The next quality is found in Isaiah 66:13. Find that verse in your Bible if you would. The second area in which a good mom and our perfect God are similar. Let me read the verse, Isaiah 66:13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Well, the word there is comfort. They both God and good moms, provide comfort. Again, I'll quickly mention the context here. The context here is about future time, the millennial kingdom, when Jesus rules and reigns here on earth. And during that time, Israel's going to have, the whole world's going to have peace. This peace is described in verse 12. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. I've got peace like a river. You might have heard that old song or another song. Like a river, glorious is God's perfect peace. There's something exceptionally peaceful and calming and soothing about a river. Actually, the last time I was here last year, we stayed with the Manns, who have a beautiful place on the Wisconsin River. What a calm, serene setting it is. I'll never forget a getaway we took, a family getaway to a cabin in the Rockies, a cabin sitting on a stream. Such a peaceful influence. There's something about a river, moving water, that communicates peace. There's something else that communicates peace and comfort. It's also referred to in this passage. It's our verse, verse 13, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Mom has a calming effect. Moms are supposed to have a calming, peaceful effect. Notice here it says in verse 12, on her sides you shall be carried. It's like carrying the child on the hip. And then it says, and be dandled on her knees. Only time I've ever talked about dandled is when I preached on this verse. But to be dandled, it means to be, it can mean anything from like being cuddled. It means to be played with. If you have an ESV, English Standard Version, it says the child is being bounced on the knee. You get the picture. The child has the full attention of the mom, and the mom is trying to give pleasure and comfort. And verse 13 says, God says, reassuring us, I will comfort my people like mom comforts. It's like in order for us to understand God's desire to comfort us, his people, he puts it into terms we can all relate to and says, just think of the way mom has the ability to comfort. And I don't know why that works that way. I don't know why mom's kisses tend to have more healing power than dad's. I don't know why it hurts feel better if mom puts the Band-Aid on, more so than if dad puts it on. Mom's ability to comfort is legendary. Remember, the truth that we want you to leave with today is this. Moms tend to model godliness better than men in some areas. So when God wants us to appreciate his ability to comfort, he says, I'm like mom. Again, I have three areas of application. Number one to moms. Mom, this is your reputation. Live up to it. Moms are known as comfort givers, and it ought to extend beyond the home. There are people in need all around us. We live in a hurting world. Moms can give comfort. Use your ability. Of course, it starts at home, and moms of all people should be able to help in providing to make home a comforting, comfortable place. But let's also apply it to men and boys. Stepping up to the plate and attempting to comfort someone else isn't a feminine quality. It's acting like God. Mom may be better at it, but that doesn't excuse us men. To offer comfort to someone who is hurting is a mark of godliness. You can review the early verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, but if I summarize them, you might recall them. It's the passage where we are exhorted to comfort others with the same comfort with which we have been comforted. That's how it's supposed to work. There's no gender application there. It's as Christians. When you go through a trial and God's been gracious and given you comfort, well, you pass it on. You know how he helped you deal with it. And now you all extend comfort to others who are in need. Well, if you can't find comfort anywhere else, well, Christian, you can always find comfort in the God of comfort. He alone can give true spiritual peace. He can give comfort of mind, comfort of heart, comfort of soul. No one, not even mom, can give comfort like the God of peace. Well, now we're going to shift gears quite a bit. When we talk about the third way that moms and God are similar, might be similar. Number three, I'll just tell you right up front, they can both be fierce. That's the word if you're following along in your outline. Both moms and God can be fierce. Now that, Looking at either one of them might make you uncomfortable, thinking of mom being fierce or God being fierce, but that's what our verse says in Hosea chapter 13. And so please find that verse in your Bible if you would. Hosea chapter 13, where we see that both moms and God can be fierce. When I was growing up, I grew up in beautiful downtown Knapp, Wisconsin. And us boys would, all the town boys would get together and we'd play games, and sometimes things got rough, and every once in a while, one of the boys would get hurt, and he'd go crying, go home crying to mama. And then, a little while later, here they'd come, hand in hand, mom and the boy that we hurt. And she would come back and lay in to the rest of us, telling us that it better not happen again or else. I don't know how it was. I don't know if this was just Knapp, but in Knapp, I don't ever remember a dad coming down and talking to us like that. But more than once, I can remember a mom standing up, because that's the way moms are. They can get pretty fierce when you start messing with her little ones. And God can be like that too. That's what our verse says. Let's read it. It is Hosea chapter 13, verse 8. I will meet them like a bear deprived of her cubs. There's the mom. I will meet them like a bear deprived of her cubs. I will tear open their rib cage, and there I will devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. Here you see the ferocity of God and a mom, specifically a she-bear, a sow. God says, I'm going to act in his anger just like a mama bear, sensing that her cubs are in danger. I read that 70% of the killings by grizzly bears are by mothers defending her cubs. We've watched nature shows at home, and we've seen a much smaller mama bear attack a much larger papa bear. Why? Because she's defending her cubs. This is the picture that God has. You want to know the wrath of God? You want to know what it's like? You think of a mama bear defending her cubs. A past vice presidential candidate, Sarah Palin, referred to herself and others who feel passionately about values, referred to them as mama grizzlies. And she meant by that we will fiercely defend those things that are dear to us. Well, in Hosea, when God wanted to communicate to Israel just how angry he could get, and when he wanted them to understand his anger, his holy wrath, he said, think about mom. Think about a mama bear who is defending her cubs. I will tear them in pieces. I will rip open their rib cage. Well, as you've probably guessed by now, I have three applications to this idea that God and good moms can both be fierce. The first one is to moms, and I have to watch it here. I have to be careful because I'm talking about moms being fierce. Be sure your fierceness is justified. Be sure that your anger is righteous anger. But if there are important things that need to be fiercely defended, then moms, do what comes naturally to you. I don't talk much politics from the pulpit, but if you, you must be aware that there is a movement out there claiming that your kids are not your own. And I would say, I suspect there will be quite a ruckus if someone tries to take the cubs away from Mama Bear. There's an application here for dads as well. Sometimes moms feel like they are forced to stand up and take action over things that should be the responsibility of the head of the home. Sometimes we men need to show a little more initiative, a little more passion, a little more fierceness to defend what needs to be defended. I'm thinking about things like values and freedoms and basic rights. The third application is about God. And I'm going to say this just about the God we worship. You don't have the right to turn God into anything you want him to be. You can't just make God a loving, comforting God, and that's it. You can't believe, you can't decide that your God is never going to get angry. In fact, to help us to understand his fierceness, God says, I'm like a mama bear defending her cubs, and we can get the picture. So far, the Bible has shown us that good moms are like our perfect God in that both are compassionate. They both can provide comfort, and they can both be fierce. Now, we have to move to the New Testament for number four, and that's in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. I'll just tell you the word here. The word is protect. They both protect. Both God, God protects us, and moms. It is the impulse of moms to protect as well. Now, when I was describing the section on fierceness, several times I referred to a mom protecting her own. But not all attempts at protecting her own require fierceness, but it's still their impulse to protect. I read this quote, "There is no greater warrior than a mother protecting her child." There is no greater warrior than a mother protecting her child. Now, Matthew chapter 23, it emphasizes protection, but it doesn't emphasize ferocity. And let me read it. It's verse 37. It's verse 37. Matthew 23, 37. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen," that's the mom, "as a mom chicken, a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Now here, the picture is a bird, a mother, a hen, protecting her kids. And there's no ferocity there. When I was a boy, walking through the cow pasture with my older and wiser cousin, Buzzy, I pointed out to him what I thought was a wounded bird, a killdeer. And Buzzy said, "No, she's not really wounded. She wants you to chase her to draw us away from her nest." That's how they protect the nest. They pretend they're hurt, pretend they're wounded. It's the maternal instinct. Moms protect. Here, Jesus, the picture here is a hen sheltering her chicks under her wings. In spite of all that the Lord wanted, the comfort he wanted to give, the protection he wanted to provide, they were not willing. They resisted. But in order for us to understand how God felt, he said, you have to think of a mother. Think of a mother chicken, a hen, who gathers her chicks under her wings and basically is saying, before you get to my babies, you're going to have to come through me. You've probably heard this little story, and I'm just going to read it to you, but it illustrates the point. A forest fire burnt down a farmhouse in western Canada. As the embers cooled, a devastated farmer was walking over the ruins and noticed a burned lump on the ground. He prodded it with his stick and saw that it was a hen burned to death. The farmer turned the hen over, and to his surprise, out ran three chirping baby chicks. The hen had died in the flames, even as it saved the lives of her helpless brood. I've heard that story a number of times. Normally, it's used to illustrate the love of Jesus, who would give his life for those he wants to protect from the flames of hell. And it does illustrate how that Jesus sacrificed his life on the cross of Calvary. And all he asks for us to be spared and protected from eternal punishment is to believe that what he did on the cross was sufficient to pay the price for our sins and to place our trust in what he has already done for us. Here it's used to also illustrate how the hen, the mother hen, gladly sacrificed her life for her chicks. On this Mother's Day, we're showing that moms tend to show godliness better than men in some areas. Moms are protectors by nature. They'll sacrifice anything. Moms will sacrifice everything for those they love. Again, as we apply it, Mom, this is your reputation. Moms are protectors. Don't be selfish. Protect those who are yours. Dads, it might be a motherly impulse to protect, but men, it's our responsibility. It's our God-given responsibility to see that our families are safe, to protect them, physically, spiritually, financially, and emotionally. And I'll remind you again, when we do that, we're acting like God. Now, we said that there are qualities shared by both God and good moms. They're both compassionate. They provide comfort. They can both be fierce, and they both protect. Finally, I want to add one more, and this one, the other ones are things that are supposed to come natural to mom. I'll just say this one does not come natural to mom, but they're things they're both supposed to share. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 3 says, I want you to know that the head of every woman is Christ, let me read again. I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And that last blank, in which is shared by both God and good moms, is the word submit. They both submit. That's what you see in 1 Corinthians 11:3. You see that a wife submits to her husband, just like Jesus the Son submits to God the Father. Now, I said early on that the first four are natural. I'll say this one is anything but natural for wives. It's not. It's going to be hard. It might require supernatural intervention. But you need to know that submission is the biblical role for mom in the house. It's not based on strengths and weaknesses. It's not based on who's best. It's based on God-given roles. Our view of the Trinity teaches us that that God the Father and God the Son are the same. We're equal in every way. They are both 100% perfect, nothing lacking in any of them, in either of them. And yet, the Father is the head, and the Son cheerfully submits to the will of the Father. Submission does not imply inferiority. The cheerful wife submits to her husband, just as Christ submits to his heavenly Father. So then, as we conclude, I'll say, moms and girls, you should try to cultivate these godly qualities. The first four are typically found in most women. The last one is important. It's just not quite so natural. We're saying that moms tend to model godliness better than men in some areas. And this is God's perfect design. And so, ladies, embrace these qualities. These come from God's word describing moms. It's God's plan that you be compassionate, that you give comfort. There's a place to be fiercely passionate for the right things, to protect and to submit. And dads and boys, I say, cultivate these godly qualities as well. Men, if we are on record as saying we want to be like Jesus, well, Jesus had all these qualities, and we ought to strive to be like him. Don't let your twisted view of manliness keep you from becoming a Christ-like Christian. This morning, we can thank God that he has these five qualities, and they're demonstrated right before our eyes in the actions of godly moms. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the things we've considered today. We thank you for indications of design and order from creation, of how you intend homes to be organized and run. Thank you, Lord, that you designed us differently. Help us men to see that we have our shortcomings. We need help. And help our ladies to understand that help them to see their value. Help them to see when God wanted to communicate to everyone who he is. Sometimes the best illustration came from moms. Thank you, Lord, for the moms who are here today. I pray that you'll bless them on this, their special day. In Jesus' name, amen. Kodiak.
I can't help but think, as I look at those five qualities, the compassion, the comfort, the fierceness, the protection, the submission, every single one of those is displayed on the cross by Jesus Christ. You know, today, if you take nothing else away, and you don't know if you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you've never actually done that, I would love to have a conversation with you to help you understand the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you all for joining us today. You are dismissed.